Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, 6:09. Happy Monday.
Hey, Carm, how are you?
What's up, Mary?
Not much. Did you have a good weekend? Did you spend it with your father?
I did have a Father's Day dinner, yes, Mary. We're going to celebrate all the dads today, a day after Father's Day. That's what we do right here.
Yep. Keep it
so,
going.
Yeah. Did you? How'd you do with, did you do anything special for your husband?
Well, that's a loaded question.
Yes, it is, Mary. It is, Mary.
No, I helped him stain the deck.
Okay.
Yeah, I did that.
That's a good effort.
He had the project, and I'm like, do you want me to go grab a paintbrush? It is Father's Day. So I did.
How did you do staining with the weather so bad?
Well, we didn't do it Saturday. It was yesterday and Friday, and kind of a project that has been going on for a good week, but it's finally done. Did the lattice yesterday. What a pain in the neck. Anyway, we had a steak dinner last night with two out of the three kids, so it was nice.
Did you cook the steak dinner?
No. He wanted to do it. He loves steak on the grill, so I said, I don't cook on the grill, so I made the broccoli casserole.
You did make the broccoli casserole.
I did.
Was there a salad?
No, we had potatoes, but he cooked those, too.
He made the potatoes.
He bought the blueberry pie.
Was that a Lyonnaise potatoes? What kind of potatoes are we talking?
We had little mini potatoes that he put on the grill.
A mini potato.
You know, those little tiny potatoes. What are they called? I don't know.
Grzanich, you like a mini potato?
I do enjoy mini potato. Yeah. Any potato grilled. Anything you
like
put on the grill.
Burned. Yeah. I like them burned. Uh-huh. And you cook them with some onions or, you know, some mushrooms.
Yeah, like do you cook baked potatoes good. On the grill as
yes.
well? Oh, I love those. When you get the skin of the potato all nice and crisp.
Oh,
and,
it's the best.
Was it a? Would you say the potato was a soft potato?
The potato was soft, but the skin was crispy.
I see. Yeah. Okay,
so it wasn't a mashed potato, if that's what you're asking.
I want to get to something that happened to me on the Father's Day. I'm not a dad to this point, but I feel like
maybe.
I had experience that dads perhaps can relate to. But Steve Grzanich, I want to blame you for the weather real fast.
That's fine. I'll take it.
Can you explain what's going on, please?
I cannot. I really can't. Apparently, we had the near coldest high temperature yesterday in nearly 25 years. As I understand, the National Weather Service says the high made it to 60 officially yesterday. And the I think it was 57 was the all-time record low high on that date, and it was about 25 years ago. So it's not been this cold this late in June since for 25 years.
What would you say the chances are that we just don't have summer? That we just do?
We'll have it in September.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is we will end up having our summer season extended, and we'll be talking about 80s and 90s in October.
So you're an optimist.
I'm not an optimist, and I also think we're going to have a drought situation. It's going to be we're going to have no rain toward the end of the summer or into the end of the fall. That's my prediction.
So you're a pessimist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you think we're going to get summer?
I think it's going to be summer, and the sun's going to come out probably this week, but it's going to be slow to get back into the 80s.
And the mosquitoes will be in full force by then.
Oh, yeah.
After all the rain.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I just want to just put it out there that it is close to the end of June, and I feel like I need a sweater. But I want to talk about something that happened to me yesterday, guys. If you can just support me in this for a minute.
Oh boy!
So I'm in the in my middle 40s, which is a great age to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is when the body starts to break down, just a drop. Like I've got an arthritic toe, Mary. Do you have an arthritic toe?
I have two of them. I've already had two surgeries on both of them.
Which toe is it, Mark?
It's both of them, my big one.
Well, for me, it's the right big toe. I might have to fuse my big toe if things don't get better at some point here. I'm hopeful that, by the way, I did a huge, I think I did a segment on the overnight show for about 3 hours on my big toe. Got tremendous support from WGN listeners that I'm still thankful for. But I'm grinding through it. And yesterday, I don't know what you guys do on Sunday mornings, but for me, Sunday mornings is softball. Big time Sunday morning softball league. And we get out there, and it's Father's Day, and the dads are out there, and everyone's smiling. And
it was crappy yesterday morning, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. But Mary, come on.
I know, you're out there anyway with your leg braces and
right.
knee braces and all that.
leg braces, knee braces. You got the kids are coming to the game. I was talking to a Grace yesterday who was watching her dad out there, and I'm like, you know, your dad's really an amazing player. And she's like, I know, he should be in the MLB. I'm like, well, okay, he's not quite that good, but you know, he's a wonderful Sunday morning softball player. So then I get out there. Sometimes I'm not really into it, you know. I it's Sunday morning. I'm not, you know, I'm just
late kinda, night Saturday
right,
night.
Right. We're just gonna hang out. Whatever happens, happens. But yesterday I was feeling it. It was Dad's day. I was getting motivated. And so I'm jumping around. I'm trying to be ready for every ball that could possibly be hit to me, even though, by the way, half the game I was on the bench. But when I did get a chance to play the outfield, I was ready. And then, Mary, I get to the plate, right?
Uh-huh.
And I hit a rocket shot base hit up the middle.
Yes.
And I come out of the box, and I'm running as fast as I can to first base. And I said, you know what, Carm? You used to do this in your 20s. You can do it today. You're gonna.
I can feel it coming.
I'm going for two.
I
round first base. They're a little slow to get the ball in the outfield, so I'm sprinting for second base. I'm going as fast as I can, and it's going to be a real close play.
Don't tell me you slid.
Oh, the little piggy gave
there
out.
There it is. Man. I haven't slid in softball in 10 years, but I'm going to be out if I don't slide.
Harm.
And my life is on the line. I'm wearing shorts.
Oh, gee.
All of that. And I just, you know, I just went down and slid like Lou Brock in his prime.
Lou Burn.
And I pop up. I'm safe, by the way, for the record. I did beat the throw. I pop up. I look at my leg. There's dirt all over my leg. It was a little bit of a wet dirt, right, as Grzanich was mentioning with the weather and you as well. And I'm thinking, this is not that bad. It's okay. It's okay. I'm okay. This is okay. And now I have a burn on my leg from my knee down to my ankle.
Nice.
I had the Neosporin going last night. I couldn't sleep. I got to get up at 4 o'clock for the Steve Cochran show. I mean, I'm admittedly very soft, but just a word to the wise on Father's Day: do not.
You're very soft.
I am. I want to own that fully. Some people would have, you know, no big deal. For me, it's like a catastrophic injury. But you don't ever slide in men's adult league.
Or you don't wear shorts.
No, you just don't slide. Because even if you wear pants, like, you still probably rip up your leg.
Yeah.
Just don't slide ever.
Do you play where when you hit a home run, you don't even run the bases?
Yeah, that's what we play.
That is, my son, he's 22 years old and they can't even run the bases. I'm like, seriously? Get out there.
You
hit a home run, run the bases.
Combined now with the toe, Mark, the toe and the burn, I think you probably qualify now for one of those hover rounds. You know, the things, the chair scooter, basically, you can, you know, they sell those in the middle of the night on TV.
Right.
I think you qualify for one of those now. I think you have a really good case.
That's not a terrible idea.
Right. And you can't be injured for your wedding. So, you know,
you're
going to be in a boot on your wedding, probably, if you keep it up with the toe thing.
Well, thank God for my beautiful, amazing fiance, Chelsea, who was able to play Dr. Chelsea yesterday. I mean, she was spraying the leg with the Neosporin.
Oh, ouch.
She was willing to do all that. Is that not love right there?
Yeah. Do you have, like, dirt in it?
She's like, this is disgusting. There's dirt. I'm like, I washed it thoroughly. That's just, like, blood crusting up in there. Let's just.
So at least with the burn, have you forgot about the pain from the big toe then? Is it at least you're forgetting about
For a moment. That's a good point, Steve. I didn't think about the big toe pain.
Do you have sweats on today? Because how'd you get your jeans on?
No, I rolled up the jean this morning, actually. That was the look I'm going with, but I rolled it down now because, you know, we're professionals here.
And we don't want to see that
anyway. Right. All right, hey, let's take a quick time out, and we'll get the top six at six coming on up here. It's Steve Cochran Show. Good morning, 617, 720 WGN.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get
your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Top six at six. Good morning, 623. Hey, Steve Cochran, how are you, buddy?
Well, enjoying the ride. Hoping to join you at some point this morning. But right now, I'm currently spending a lot of time with friends on the Eisenhower.
Well,
Yes, I'm sorry. Do you have a question?
No, well, I just wanted to. I appreciate you saying that, but what we're actually doing, of course, is polishing your seat right now and making sure it's ready when you get here. So we're almost there. We're not quite, but we're almost there.
Well, here's the thing, and Mary Vandeveld is the expert in this. But Mary, I got up this morning and we talked about this on Friday, and I said, you know what, another 20 minutes ought to be good.
No, did you? Did you hit the snooze?
No, I left 20 minutes earlier than I would normally leave. And I am telling you right now, I am going as fast as I've gone in the last 45 minutes. I'm going 3 miles an hour stopping.
Oh,
so boy. If you're coming into the city from the western burbs, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, it's got to be an hour for Mannheim, right?
It's 50. 50 for Mannheim now. Yep, almost an hour. Yeah,
and normally with no traffic, that's literally 16 minutes. So there's your 45 minutes. And it's going to get worse in the next 20 minutes to an hour. So you may want to just pull over and cry.
That's what I always do.
Yeah, they were supposed to do this Saturday night, but because of the lovely weather, they had to do it last night. So that's what happened.
I don't understand how the weather affected it. It was rain, right? I mean, I have nothing but respect for those guys who work out in that stuff, but how do you take out a Monday morning commute, as opposed to working it Saturday night?
I don't know. I guess they have to paint the lines and stuff, and they can't do all that in the rain. Yeah, and you really need the new lines and all that set up, so the paving.
What was with the lateness of picking stuff up this morning? Because apparently an hour late picking up what they needed to pick up to create this new lane configuration slowed everything down, too.
Yeah. Yep. Took a long time overnight.
Good knowledge on line painting, Mary. I'm impressed. I'm sure everybody else is as well.
Taping as well. You're welcome.
Right. Oh, taping.
Well, here's the inside baseball, kids. If you're coming in from the west, when you get to California, the squeeze really starts. The backup will be all the way. Is it all the way to Mannheim yet?
No, it's Harlem now.
Okay. But the backup, once you hit the wall, you're not going anywhere. And in California, if you're not already working your way over to the right lanes, you're behind the rest of the class.
Should we send an electric scooter to pick you up?
You know, it would be faster. Yeah, it absolutely would be faster. And I'd look stylish on it.
Yeah.
The center lane, just so people get this, am I right about this now? The left lane is Ida B. Wells. The center lane is Ether. The right lane is the Ryan. Let's get in those lanes and stay there, kids.
Yep.
Good plan.
You're right.
Like it. All right, here we go, team. Top six at six. Here we go. The superintendent, Eddie Johnson, is still hospitalized after doctors found a small blood clot in his lung during a checkup on Friday. All the best to Eddie Johnson for a quick recovery. Let's move on to number two. Thank you very much for the quack. A Boeing CEO, Dennis Muhlenberg, told reporters in Paris at the Paris Air Show, this is fascinating, that Boeing's communication with regulators, customers, and the public was, quote, not consistent. We just lost Steve. And that is unacceptable. The chief executive said the company made a mistake in handling a problematic cockpit warning system in its 737 MAX jets before two crashes of the top-selling plane killed 346 people. This is just upsetting to read and hear, right? Yeah.
And, Mark, the other part of the air show news, Paris Air Show News, where this story developing, Boeing's competitor, Airbus, has launched a new long-range jet called the A321 XLR. It's going to be able to fly for 4,700 miles. A big piece of competition for Boeing.
All right. This year, historic rains and flooding in the Midwest, as we're all experienced, they've roiled farm fields, they've overwhelmed sewer systems, and there's a tremendous amount of nutrients that are flooding into the Mississippi River and to the Gulf of Mexico. So there's a remarkable amount of algae. None of this is good. While the agricultural runoff from the farms is the main driver of the Gulf, quote, dead zone, pollution from Chicago is the single largest culprit. Steve.
The dead zone, yes. The size of Massachusetts.
Chicago, the single largest culprit. President Trump has revived his health care push. Trump talking in an interview last night that his plan would be introduced. Here comes the Trump health care plan in a month or two. Although he also acknowledged that Congress would not vote on any proposal until 2021. Can't wait for that. The Blackhawks have made a trade over the weekend. Dominic Cahoon and a fifth-round pick going to the Penguins for Ali Mata. He is a 24-year-old defenseman. This guy should help dramatically, hopefully, on the power play kill. Jeremy Colleton will be on the show today at 8:40.
He has a lot of letters in his name. A lot of double letters. A lot of two L's, two A's, and two T's.
That's exactly right, Mary.
Wow,
very good.
That's pretty cool.
Double A, double T on the back end. And then, yes, it's Ollie with two L's.
And you called him a defenseman.
Yes, he's not.
Double there.
That's true. This is not a guy that's going to be a goal scorer for you, but he should help you on the back end. And lastly, do we get a quack? Okay, one more. Thank you. Gary Woodland has won the 2019 U.S. Open. Brooks Koepka was trying to do it for the third straight time and was on his tail the entire Sunday afternoon. But hey, 13 under for Woodland, a huge birdie. Late in the round as well, and yes, Tiger Woods was in there, but finished 11 shots off the pace. Anybody watch the golf yesterday? Mary, did you watch Father's Day?
Can you believe I watched it, and I am like the last person to be watching golf, but that thing lasted forever. I'm like, my gosh, when is it going to be up? I had to go to bed, you know, but it was exciting, I guess. I wanted to see his wife, though, but I didn't. They didn't show her, did they?
I did not notice.
She's pregnant with twin girls. I do know that, so maybe she couldn't make it.
This guy's got a phenomenal journey. He's got basketball talents. He wasn't your traditional come right out of the womb 3-year old. You know, dad puts the clubs in your hands, golfer, and just found his way. Tremendous talent, and he wins the U.S. Open.
Good for him.
Congratulations.
Yes, and he has a 2-year old little boy too.
Oh, yeah, that was adorable.
On Father's Day.
Yes, that was a beautiful part of the day. All right, quick time out. We'll get you an update on news. Doc Mo's coming up after 6:30. It's the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Lord, I was born a rambling man.
Good morning, 6:41, Steve Cochran Show. Doc Mo's coming up in about 7 minutes. Just got a real quick question. For Mary, for Uh-oh. Steve. Have you ever been tracked down by the city of Chicago?
Like for a ticket that you'd never paid or something like that?
That's correct, Mary. Oh. You have tremendous intuition this morning.
But no, it never happened to me.
It's never happened to you?
No.
Have you heard me talk about this before?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
What'd you do?
Steve Grzanich, have you been tracked down by the city before?
Tracked down by the city.
Yes. They've hired a law firm to come find
you.
You must owe a lot, then.
I did get a parking ticket like 5 years after I actually had the ticket, though, that just showed up in the mail one day.
5 years after you got it, showed up?
Yeah.
Got lost in the mail.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did they want to charge you double?
No, it was just they gave me like a certain amount of time to pay the ticket. It was like a $50 ticket or something, and then I paid it.
Okay. I see. So 5 years after the fact. Because that's right. And we would all agree that our city is not perfect. Are we all on board with that?
Yeah.
That perhaps they're not the most organized city?
It's a big city.
That perhaps
a lot of people.
That perhaps our property taxes are a little bit too high and going higher?
Oh, absolutely too high.
That perhaps that we can't park on our streets anymore without paying to a private entity because we sold off the parking, right?
Right.
We're all on board on this, right?
All right. Yeah, you've set up your case.
Right.
What'd you do?
Well, I just wanted to point out that the city is incredibly diligent. Because I did get a notice for a street cleaning ticket, and a law firm has been hired. This is about 5 cars ago, 5 license plates ago, and I just moving in with the lovely fiance, and somehow with this move, it triggered something, and a ticket from 2001, Mary.
What?
2001. 18 years ago.
Oh.
They want their $122 from me.
No interest?
I think that's $22 of interest. It was a $100 street cleaning ticket.
Oh, yeah, what if you were dead?
Pay it and let it go.
Pay it and let it go, huh?
Yeah, pay it and let it go.
You think I should pay it?
Yeah, I think you should pay it.
That is because hilarious.
This kind of stuff.
This is blasphemer, Steve Grzanich.
I agree. I mean, you never knew about this ticket before now.
No, I knew about it.
Oh, well, then just pay the ticket.
Do you just wonder what happened?
You're lucky they're not coming after you for, like, interest and late fees.
Why are you always on the side of upper management? Why can't you be with the people?
If you knew about this ticket, you should have paid it right away.
Does it have anything to do with the new mayor? Perhaps
she
instigated this?
You know, so I just want to say, I was starting to feel a little bit of pity for you. Oh, my God. And then you told me that you knew about it. I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah, I was too.
But, hold on a second. I knew about it, but I didn't agree with it. There were no signs that day, Steve. The signs were not posted.
Listen, I got a ticket like that one time. I took a picture of my car with the newspaper on it because they said I didn't have a front license plate, and I did, and it got thrown out of court. It was gone.
Yeah, you got to have proof. You got to take a picture.
It's a responsive system. I mean, you can fight that stuff.
No, okay.
Unless you're really guilty,
No, okay, fine.
You know what? You're spending so much money right now for this wedding. What's another $125?
You don't want it on your case before you get married.
All right, but here,
get rid of it.
We're gonna have Doc Most in 4 minutes, but we gotta go to break. But I gotta ask you one more question. You know the one parking spot that you can pay outside of WGN on Columbus? There's one spot.
Now everybody knows about it.
There's that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Are you in there today?
I'm not in there today. I've parked. I'm in the garage.
Okay.
But I was in there one day when I was filling in for sports on the Rokan show. I was coming up. I wanted to park right in front, and I thought I perhaps would get away with it. I got a ticket in the front, Steve. So let me see if you're on my side on this one. I got one at $2.55, okay, and they gave me another one at $4.45. Two tickets within 2 hours. Are you on my side on this one?
It sounds like the thing expired and you didn't put enough in the meter.
No. Grisanch, we are no longer friends.
How often do they come by?
I love Steven now, but just today.
I have my own issues. You heard about my car last week, right? In the safety of the parking garage, somebody slammed into my car $2,000 worth of damage.
That's not your fault.
I know. Well, but still.
You got to pay it.
We all have problems,
all right,
Mark.
All right. Okay. Thank you for letting me
just
vent.
Just pay it.
Doc Most in a second. 720 WGN.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Most right now. Dr. Kevin Most,
happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Before we get to the topic of the morning, people are texting in about the city tracking down their deceased loved ones along with Mark Carmen. And we'll get some of that in just a second. This is a Carmen 2001 ticket that he's now being asked to pay.
Signs weren't posted, Steve.
It's going to be a statute of limitations at some point.
That's what I'm talking about. Come on. Thank you. Somebody's on my side. Thank you.
But in the meantime, Doc, musical director John DeCoste worked a little overtime this weekend. Curtis, play it.
We all know who I'm talking about. The greatest of men with the greatest of clout. Your listeners pick up and call on the phone. Is it something they ate or attack of gallstones? What he prescribes, followers will follow. Should they be concerned because they can't swallow? But today is his own special day. And all of us right here at GN wanna say today is Dr. Most's birthday. A day we all should celebrate. And no more questions today, 'cause it burns when I urinate. It burns when I urinate. B.O. degree from COM College. Receive MBA with Notre Dame knowledge. It's time to thank you for all that you do. Even though my neck has a rash with some brown residue, today is Dr. Most's birthday. A celebration all for one. And thank you from us always, oh God, there's pus inside my thumb. There's pus inside my thumb. Happy birthday, doctor. Happy birthday, Doc Mo.
How about that, Doc?
Wow.
Huh?
Right? That's cool. John DeCoste, wherever you're listening from, thank you very much. That's very nice of all of you to think of me. I appreciate that.
All he had to do is spend the whole weekend doing an arrangement on a song that he doesn't own.
Happy birthday.
And then sing it, and then come up with a way to rhyme with pus. I mean, there was a lot in there.
Yeah. You know, Steve, it's my brother Kurt's birthday, too, as well. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Kurt. I didn't know that.
Born on the same day, 2 years apart.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, your mom's timing was impeccable.
Yep.
So thank you, John. Very, very impressive.
That was awesome.
All right, so Doc, let's talk pot, weed. John may have been on it. Well, he wrote that song. Governor signed a bill making Illinois the 11th state in the country to legalize recreational marijuana through a tax act. Went through the House and Senate. New law says over 21, you get 30 grams of marijuana limit. You can grow 5 plants at home. There's licenses that will still be granted, though there's a tremendous screening process for all that. Let's talk about the health side of this. What do we know?
Yeah, you know, it is going to be interesting to see the health side of it. You know, right now we have medicinal marijuana that's approved in the state of Illinois. Physicians kind of have to jump through some hoops. Patients have to jump through some hoops in order to get that. And yet we know the benefits from marijuana, which include pain relief, muscle relaxant, appetite stimulation, antidepressant, nausea control, stopping seizures. All of those things we know this drug works for. So it'll be very interesting to see now if we start to see an increased use in medicinal marijuana, even though it's going to fall into the recreational track, I'll call it.
You know, we've talked about the success many are having with CBD oil. Is CBD oil marijuana, or is there a difference?
Well, there's CBD oil that's made from hemp, and then there's other CBD oil that will come out in the future here that will have more THC in it as well. And, you know, the amazing thing about CBD oil is, as we've talked in the past, it makes a lot of claims, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of anecdotal stories right now saying how well it works. Even the lotions, you know, that are being rubbed on joints that hurt, people that have arthritis, people that are having joint pain, and now they're finding that the CBD oil is actually doing better than what they get for regular medication. So I still think the jury's out, but there's very promising results in both CBD oil. And then, like I said, the recreational marijuana side of it, the impact that it's going to have on the health of many people is going to be great. There are some risks, but, you know, from the medicinal side, it'll be great.
How do you know you're getting CBD oil that's, I mean, it's not regulated, it's not FDA approved, right?
Correct.
Yep. So how do you know you're not buying, you know, something that's not what it says it is?
Well, you really don't. You know, you're going to have to kind of take their word for it right now.
Are there top shelf producers of this? I'm trying to think of the main supplement folks, Nature's Harvest or something. I'm trying to think of the companies that do the most of this.
Yeah. You know, right now it's a lot of smaller startup companies. I think you'll start to see bigger industries get into it. I mean, I think you'll even start to see the tobacco companies start to go down this road as well, as they might lose some business. They can supplement this with their distribution. But, you know, I think it's going to be one of those, you try it, you see if it works for you, and if it helps you symptoms that you're looking to eliminate, then great. If it doesn't, then it's, you know, time to move on.
What about interactions with other meds you might be taking?
Well, not so much that. I'll tell you, the biggest concern that doctors have right now is, you know, the side effects from it. You know, do you want somebody, you know, we know that it slows down reaction times. We know that it impacts your judgment. You know, do we want people using that and then working in a work environment or driving a car? And that's probably one of the biggest concerns we have is, with it being legal now, are we going to put more people at risk for injuries?
CBD oil, same kind of side effects?
No, not so much. You know, some people, it'll make them a little drowsy. So actually, you know, a lot of people use it in place of sleeping medications. You know, they take a couple drops of the oil, and it actually helps them relax and go to sleep. But really, we don't see the side effects. You don't see the quote-unquote high from CBD oil that you do from marijuana.
All right, so as this pushes forward, we'll obviously learn more. We know it works medically for a lot of very difficult circumstances. The reduced reaction times are a concern off the top of my head for driving. Do we know anything about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We know that the impact with that when combined with alcohol, you have a much higher risk of being in a fatal car accident. So, and we know also that, you know, when this went legal in Colorado, the emergency room saw an increased risk or increased number of adolescents actually that came in, whether after ingesting it or co-ingesting it. So the injury rate in adolescents, which is a scary part, but if you think about it now and it's legal and it's in the house and kids see their parents doing it and it's legal, you know, that's one of the concerns. Are we going to see an increased use in adolescents for marijuana?
For all of the notes that Dr. Most puts together, and they're extensive, and he doesn't mention his birthday or Kurt's birthday once in there. We're going to put those up when we put the podcast up today, and that'll be just in a matter of a few minutes. So if you join us mid-segment, you can jump on there and get everything Dr. knows about this. From a medical standpoint, not personally, medically. Now, we do have a little bit of a medical track record in Colorado because it's been legal there for a couple of years. Has that helped?
Yeah, it does. And I'll tell you, the other big medical concern is the impact on anesthesia and the impact for surgeons. You know, surgeons will often tell their patients before surgery, I want you to stop smoking 6 weeks before surgery, and I want you to stop smoking 6 weeks after surgery. So we're really going to have to make sure that the doctors make sure that they say that includes marijuana as well. Marijuana can increase your heart rate. It can increase your chance. Heavy use can increase your chance of a heart attack or a stroke. So doctors really are going to be impactful there saying, hey, make sure that before surgery, if you're using recreational marijuana, we want you to stop that as well. And then also you have to remember that a lot of marijuana, almost all of it right now, is unfiltered. So we possibly will see as we play this out, possible increase in lung cancer because there's carcinogens in it as well.
Lots of important stuff there, Doc. Any last thing you want to leave us with?
No, you know, I just appreciate the support you guys have given Northwestern and myself over the years, and I appreciate John making that special song. And happy birthday to my brother, Kurt, because I know he's listening.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Well, buddy, happy birthday to you. And last question comes from a listener, melatonin or CBD oil for sleep. Got a preference?
Wow. You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of melatonin because it's natural. Our body makes it. But I can tell you a lot of people have tried CBD oil. So if the melatonin's not working, then go ahead and get the CBD oil. You put it under your tongue. You swish it around for about 60 to 90 seconds before you swallow it. And I'll tell you, a lot of people have found great relief for insomnia and falling asleep in that way. Both are natural, but melatonin the body makes itself. Versus this will be natural in the other way. But try them both. You can't overdose on the melatonin and if you use them both at the same time.
Non-addictive?
No.
Okay.
No. You know, the addiction portion of marijuana, we could talk about it at a different date, but, you know, it depends on what you use the word of addiction, but it's felt to be non-addictive.
Mark Carmen, who won the U.S. Open yesterday?
That'd be Gary Woodland, Steve. As far as the WGN pool, is that what you're going with?
No.
Oh, you want to go Gary?
Okay. Gary Woodland. The reason I bring it up is, where did he go to college? Doc?
Well, he went to University of Kansas, but I was waiting for Carm to say that. You know, we have a KU graduate. Everyone talks about Oklahoma State and Duke and North Carolina and Stanford golf, but, you know, kudos to Gary Woodland. Great that he brought home the U.S. Open Championship to the great state of Kansas and KU. It's awesome.
And he's a good dude, by the way. Yeah. And by the way, the other piece of this, which is great news, it's a Chicago tie. Wilson Golf, when Doc and I were growing up, ruled the golf industry. Forget about Titleist. Forget about Pro V1s. Everybody played Wilson. Everybody played Wilson balls. They let that chunk of business get away. They've never been able to get it back. They've done a really good job growing their golf side again back to this point. And Gary Woodland's a Wilson guy.
Yeah. It's great for Wilson. You know, like you said, let's bring them back. Let's rally them. And I'll tell you, Gary Woodland's probably one of the most, you know, liked players on the tour. People look at him and say he seems kind of aloof when he's playing golf. But off the course, you know, amazing what he does for charity work. And if you really want to see a cool thing, Google, you know, Gary Woodland, Phoenix Open, Down Syndrome.
Amy's a girl's name.
Amy. It's phenomenal.
Yeah,
so
it's a great, great video. And you'll see, yep. You'll see what he thinks of kids and being a dad and all that, too.
Yep.
All right, Doc, thanks. Happy birthday.
You got it. Thank you very much.
Dr. Kevin Mostegan, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts with Northwestern Medicine. Hey, Carm, good news. We got time to talk about your wedding plans.
Oh, great, Steve.
And we'll come back and catch some of those texts as well. The general question is anybody else being chased by the city the way you are?
Right. Are they singling me out here, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's an anti-Carm thing.
Possible. We all have it. 312-981-7200. Steve Bertrand will be here at 10, just so we know. Steve Grzanich will be here in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros.
The MVP.
Make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Now, Lenny Dumas, one of the founding members of the Share Food, Share Love food pantry in Brookfield, joins us now with some pretty amazing statistics. Good morning, Lenny.
Good morning. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm looking at a number here. It says you serve 180 families a month.
We do. We do.
It's a lot of work.
We've grown to that. It is. But it's really rewarding work, and it's really, you know, we really do love what we do.
Started with your church?
And it did. It started with our church. We were looking for a sort of an outlet, something that we could do that would leave our mark. And we didn't want it to be a church pantry, though. We wanted it to be a community pantry because we didn't want to have feel like they couldn't come to church, although it's in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of our volunteers are actually from the community. We have a lot of people who have come to us over the years. We've been there for about 3.5 years. And we have most of our volunteers who come on a regular basis are members of the community who want to reach out and help their fellow community members.
I know you're in the healthcare business. What was your job?
I was actually a medical assistant. I started out as a medical assistant, which is an office nurse.
I was going to say, until you got involved in this, did you know about how bad hunger is in this
well,
area?
Well, you know, you always have that feeling, but when we got involved in it, we didn't realize it until we reached.
Now we got a bad phone line. I was hoping it would hold.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're
Are
back
you there?
Now. Yeah, you're back now. Just don't move.
Okay, I won't move. We reached out to the schools and found out that, you know, how many kids were on the reduced or free lunch program. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of what helped guide us, as well as in our community, a lot of the senior citizens were in need of food, did not have enough money to pay all their bills and buy food for themselves. So we wanted to be able to help them out.
Well, how do we help?
Well, you know, we partner with the Greater Chicago Food Depository, which I know you guys are very supportive
sure.
of.
Mm-hmm.
But for our pantry, we take monetary donations. We do have a website, which is sharefoodsharelove.com. And if people make a donation, we can buy a lot of food to help people. But if you're in the area and want to donate, you know, food, paper products, cleaning products, things that people have to go out and buy, that would be a great way to help as well.
And just all information on the website as far as contacting you and all that?
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What
if you want to volunteer, it's sharefoodsharelove.com.
Sharefoodsharelove.com. Not so hard to remember. you are the most valuable person on the planet. A lot of pressure.
Oh, wow. Thanks. I'm really touched.
Well,
and it's not just me. It's a lot of people who helped to make this happen.
Well, of course. But you're the leader, and thank you for coming
thank
on.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Steve.
That's Lenny Dumas, one of the founding members of Share Food, Share Love. Hey, Michael, give her something. Check your wallet. See if you got any cash in there. Give her whatever she wants. At 7:31, we'll come back with the headlines in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
My friend Ryan Nobles joins me from CNN. Ryan Nobles, Mark Carman is with us for a couple weeks. Dave Ennett's on the road on a trip to Italy with a bunch of WGN listeners. Rough trip there. But our friend Carmen here is getting married, and, you know, being a happily married guy, do you have any advice for him on how to be a happy husband and a good husband?
I mean, I think everybody knows the answer to this question. Just do everything that your future spouse tells you to do at all times, and that will lead to a very happy life. I found that. Almost 15 years in, I've known my wife now. This summer marks the 20-year mark of us meeting. So we've been married 15 years, and so far so good. And basically because I just do whatever she tells me to do, I'm okay with that. It works really well.
And because she's right.
Right. No, that's right. Yeah. She's smarter about these things than I am. I can see that fully. No doubt about that.
Marcia, would you agree with that? Let me get your mic in.
I would totally agree with that.
Okay.
He's a smart man.
Did you write that down, Mark?
Yeah, I did, and I'm not on board.
Okay. Well, we'll fight that later. Consider yourself warned.
I appreciate the tip.
All right. The rolling story of the morning seems to be the cyber attacks on Russia. And the Russian power grid is a way of telling Russia, don't mess with us, get out of our cyberspace. What do we know about this story?
Not much more than what you've seen reported at this point. I mean, I think it is pretty interesting to see that that Russia could be vulnerable to this type of an attack, and B, that we'd even learn about it at the level that we are. I think more than anything, Steve, this shows that, you know, these issues of trying to interfere with the cybersecurity of countries around the world is an ongoing problem. It's something that we don't necessarily have the full answers to how we're going to solve all of these problems. And the idea that all the issues that happened during the 2016 election were behind us, and I think that may be one of the overwhelming points of the Mueller report, is that, this may have been an issue with the Trump campaign, but it's a bigger problem with foreign adversaries trying to get involved in our elections. Cybersecurity, the next level of that, but the idea that we can just bury our heads in the sand and pretend like this isn't an issue, it is a fantasy. Perhaps this is an example of us trying to fight back. We still don't know the full extent of it.
Yeah, and another note for the president, and that is this. It is not treasonous to report a story as was reported in the New York Times. And again, get yourself a dictionary or one of your staff members to explain the big words to you. all right, so the polling story is also really a fascinating insight into the president. Donald Trump, it's been verified, confirmed by the White House, CNN, other places will tell you the same, that he had several pollsters fired, in-house pollsters, inside pollsters, including Kellyanne Conway's company, because he didn't like the numbers they were producing.
Well, and not just that they didn't like the numbers, but that they were then leaking those numbers to members of the press, which I think was a bigger problem for the president, was that he doesn't have any problem with someone telling him bad news that he can then turn around and turn into something else. But the problem was that these pollsters were going around the campaign and going around the president and going to reporters, and it wasn't just us at CNN. There was a number of different outlets that had the same reporting. And what's interesting about this is the president seems to be really rankled by the idea that his internal polling would reveal that he is not doing very well in a lot of these head-to-head matchups, particularly in some of these states that were key to his 2016 victory. But it's not any different than what all the public polling is telling us. I think that if his internal polls are telling him something different than what the public polling was telling us, well, then that would probably mean that his internal polling is wrong. I guess it does say something that his internal polling was showing that he has an issue here. If you look at all the polling of these top, if you take the top, I think, five or six people in the Democratic field, every single one of them is beating President Trump in head-to-head matchups by at least 5 points. I think Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden are beating him by almost 10 points. So, he's got a real problem when it comes to polling. I think that what Donald Trump and his supporters would tell you is that he had a big problem with polling all through 2016 and somehow stole out the election. So it's not as if they put a ton of stock in it, but it is pretty interesting to see the internal dynamic within his campaign when he's getting poll numbers that he doesn't like.
Also, I think it's a part and parcel to how he manages the show, and in his mind it is a show. Here's a piece of sound from the George Stephanopoulos interview that is such a fantasy it's hard to wrap your head around. Roll it.
Why does it bother you so much?
Because it's untrue. I like the truth. I'm actually a very honest guy.
I like the truth. I'm actually a very honest guy. 10,500 verifiable lies so far. Verifiable lies. And I'm sure that a few got missed. I like the truth. I'm actually a very honest guy. I love it. It's fantastic.
I think the best part about that is the use of the word actually. Yeah. If you have to put the word, if you have to put the qualifier of actually before something that you're saying about yourself, that usually means that you're trying to convince someone that you are or are not something. So the fact that he has to say, I'm actually a pretty honest guy, I think tells you a lot about the president. I mean, that whole, you know, wild interview with George Stephanopoulos was filled with factual inaccuracies. You can say a lot of things about Donald Trump, and even his most ardent supporters will tell you that they concede that he has a problem with the truth, and they forgive it for whatever reason. But honesty, he may be a lot of things, and you may like him or not like him, but I don't see how in any way, shape, or form you could view him as an honest person. That more than anything, is not the truth.
And by the way, again, to prove that he sees the whole thing as a show, I don't know that I've ever seen this before. When you're doing a news interview, and Ryan, you can tell me if you've ever come across this, you don't, as the interviewee, say, hey, could we take that again? Can we stop this and take that again? There's a point here where Nick Mulvaney, the chief of staff, coughs. And he coughs because Trump is going down a road that he doesn't want Trump to go down. Trump gets angry and asks him to leave the room. Listen.
At some point, I hope they get it, because it's a fantastic financial statement. It's a fantastic financial statement. And let's do that over. He's coughing in the middle of my answer.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like that, you know?
Your chief of staff.
If you're going to cough, please leave the room.
Get a shot of, and I'll come over here.
You just can't.
Just to change the shot.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, do you want to do that a little differently then?
Yeah, we just changed the angle. Okay. Yep. Thank you.
So at some point, I look forward to, frankly, I'd like to have people see my financial statement.
It's not done. It's not done. It's not a TV show. It's an interview with the President of the United States. And the idea that he said, I hope people get to see my financial statement, release it. That's the only reason people don't know your taxes. Release it. How stupid do we look to you?
There's so many layers of that particular clip. I'm actually so glad that ABC put it in, because it shows us so much about him. The first is the point that you're making, that, you know, he viewed this interview like an episode of The Apprentice, that he could, you know, floor direct it from his perch as the star of the show and tell everyone where to be and how to handle it. Secondly, how dismissive of he is of his chief of staff on camera. You know, they're just so disrespectful. And then the third level of it is, and, you know, I think that, you know, this is worth at least speculating about, you know, the idea that Mulvaney goes into that coughing fit when the president talks about releasing his financial statements, that he wants to release his financial statements. Was that just a coincidence, or was that something that Mick Mulvaney did not want him talking
Absolutely.
About, because it did turn the direction of the conversation in a big way? But, man, so much in just that little bit of information and that little clip in that interview that tells us a lot about the president and the way he runs his administration.
The other biggest creep in Washington, Mitch McConnell, got buried by John Stewart, who is on quite a roll. I'm ready to vote for John Stewart if he's ready to run after last week and fighting for the first responders in 9/11. But we'll play you the Mitch McConnell gets buried by John Stewart clip on Fox as time allows later in the show. All right. Sarah Sanders goes away. Will you and the coverage of the White House team, all of CNN and everybody else that does this, an important work in letting us know what the White House is trying to spin that day or say that day. Will we get a press briefing now, and who's going to get the new job?
So it seems pretty unrealistic that there'll be a press briefing that we were accustomed to in previous administrations on a regular basis with the new press secretary. There's still a chance, and from what our White House team is saying, that there are internal deliberations of bringing it back in some form or fashion with a new press secretary, but it'll probably depend a lot as to who that press secretary will be. My guess is that you may see Hogan Gibbons, who's the deputy press secretary, take that job on an interim basis, but that it will not be the long-term solution. The president would prefer to have a woman. That is, I mean, across the board, the reporting is that he would prefer to place that role with a woman. I do envision it being somebody outside of the White House. There are a number of people that the president admires. The new State Department spokesperson is someone he likes. There's a chance that he brings back Heather Nauert, who was the State Department spokesperson, who then went on to become who he attempted to make the ambassador of the United Nations, and that fell apart. The other name that I think you should keep an eye on is Stephanie Grisham, who is currently running the East Wing. She's one of Melania Trump's closest confidant. She's received very high marks for the way that she's handled Melania Trump's public image. And Grisham is somebody that has been around the Trump campaign from the very beginning. I remember covering the Trump campaign back when nobody thought he could win, and she was one of the dance press leads with us on a day-to-day basis. She's really universally liked inside the White House and outside of the White House, and someone that the president himself likes. So if they're going to go with an internal candidate, she'd be the front-runner. But to answer your broader question, Steve, I don't think a new person in that job is going to change the way that the White House interacts with the press, because that comes from the top. That's the way the president wants it, and it doesn't matter who you put in there as press secretary, that's not going to change.
What about John Lovitz?
Yeah, that's the ticket. Wouldn't he be perfect for that? Come on.
Just so you should send that recommendation up the chain, Steve, and see how it's received.
He's not that busy in show business anymore. Ryan Nobles, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
And remember, when it comes to President Trump...
Why does it bother you so much?
Because it's untrue. I like the truth. You know, I'm actually a very honest guy.
Yeah, I can't believe I had that wrong the whole time. It's 7:52. What's coming up at 8? Mark Carman is filling in for Dave Ennett while Dave Ennett's in Italy. Do the Sox Super Joe trivia question.
Big pressure here. I like
this
one.
You know what we're giving away?
No, what are we giving away, Steve?
We're giving away Sox tickets.
Well, do we know what game? I want specifics here.
Curtis, what game are we giving away these Sox tickets to? Curtis, Michael, either one of you guys know?
It doesn't matter.
Hold on for a second here. I don't have the list here. Hold on 1 second.
Take your time. We're on until 10.
Maybe I'll do the trivia and we'll find out.
There you go. That's a good call. Like, what's the question?
All right, so here we go. The Diamondbacks and the Phillies, they set the record for most home runs in a single game last week. 13 homers in one game, Steve. It's a lot of homers.
It's a little crazy.
Yeah. They broke the record that was set by, guess who? That would be the White Sox and the Tigers, who did it twice. That's right, twice. Those two did it on May 28, 1995 in Detroit.
I assume that was 12 home runs in a game?
12 home runs in a game, okay. Yes, that is correct. And then on July 2nd, 2002 at Comiskey Park. Right, 12 for the White Sox and Tigers, 13 for the Diamondbacks and Phillies. So what we need, 312-981-7200, name a White Sox player who went deep in either of those games. Give me somebody who homered in either May 28, 1995, think back to that White Sox team, or... July 2nd, 2002, 7 years apart.
And all we need is one player?
One player. This is not too difficult. Oh, however,
really not difficult.
You might, you know, perhaps it wasn't the usual suspects here who were going deep in these games. Perhaps.
First correct caller, 312-981-7200. That is the number. I have good news for you, Mary Vandeveld.
What?
You did very well in the U.S. Open picks this weekend.
Well, I know, but...
You finished in fourth place.
Disappointed, because I was winning going into the fourth round, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were, actually. Ashley, the intern, who was with us the past, 2 weeks or so, Ashley finished third.
Well, Ashley's also an athlete that played golf as well, didn't she?
Yeah, she did, actually. A listener, Norm, who was a good dude, finished second.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Ennett won.
Oh. But at least he's not here to, you know.
Cliche.
To just brag about it.
Should I celebrate sitting in Dave Ennett's seat? Should I be jumping up and down something?
Who did he pick? Oh, he had Koepka.
Dave Ennett, yeah, he had Koepka, Xander, and Tiger. Super Joe and me and Michael's picks were actually awful. Michael Eidemann's picks were so terrible. He was the only guy to pick three guys that missed the cut.
Hey now, hey, I love the names, and it's funny to think that the only person who I was able to beat was Steve, who guessed people who didn't even, or weren't even part of the tournament.
Michael's three guys were 42 over on our scoring system.
Whoa. I had an optimistic view on them.
Blah, 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 blah.
Next year.
In hindsight, I shouldn't have picked Bob Barker either, because I didn't realize he just had a hip replacement.
Yeah, so
that's a fair point.
He was out, yeah.
If I would have known that, I would have not picked
him. He did get kicked off the cut.
John DeCoste picked Woodrow Wilson, Dwight Eisenhower, and Donald Trump. Those were all bad picks. Of course, Eisenhower and Woodrow Wilson still deceased, and Donald Trump cheats. So those were not great picks. And my mom's picks. My mom, you know, as a numbers runner for the mob, my mom's picks are usually pretty good. She didn't get it done for the Open.
Oh.
So sorry, Mom.
Poor Ann.
Dave ended a big winner, and as always, if you're a staff member and you win on the show, you get nothing, and you like it. So,
and when is the next one we have to do for this, so I can start researching?
The Open Championship, the British Open, a month away. Actually, less than a month away.
Now. Oh, boy.
Larry is on the phone and claims he has the correct answer. Carms, give me the question one more time.
The question is, the Diamondbacks and the Phillies set the record for most homers in a single game. It was 13. They broke the record set by the Sox and Tigers. They did it, hit 12 homers. They did that twice, May 28, 1995 in Detroit, and July 2nd, 2002 at Comiskey Park. He just needs to name a White Sox player who hit a homer in either of those games.
Let's go to Larry. Larry, give me a name.
Hey, let's go with Frank Thomas.
Exactly. You got another one just for fun?
I'm drawing a blank right now.
How about Ray Durham?
Laying in bed talking here.
Right. Well, don't paint the picture too vividly. Ray Durham, Ron Karkovice, Craig Grabeck, Kenny Lofton, Maglio Adornias, Jose Valentin, and Sandy Alomar Jr. also homer.
That's all correct, Steve.
So, Frank Thomas, you're a winner. Hold on. What tickets?
All right, thanks.
Did you guys ever figure out what game he's going to?
Yeah, June 29th against the Twins.
June 29th, wow. The Twins. It's going to be a big deal.
Little divisional matchup.
I think I'm at that game.
Oh, great. I think I'll be there at that game.
All right, man, hold on. There's your winner, and thank you, Mark Carman. I thought you did an adequate job there.
Thank you, Steve. I certainly gave it my all.
Steve Gazanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
it's Moron Entertainment. Good morning, Dean.
Steve, happy day after Father's Day to you.
Thank you very much. I heard a little bit of your show yesterday when you were putting on fathers of staff members.
Oh, yes.
And Andy Mazur's father was quite amusing.
He was very funny. Yeah, he brought the laughs. And Dave Schwann's 97-year-old dad.
How about that?
Was great. It's nice. We had a lot of people calling.
I understand that Dave Schwann's dad was hitting on your mom.
In the past, at when we've done those shows at Tree Time and Lake Barrington, when Schwani's dad was out there, and my 96-year-old mother was there,
or as Dave Schwann's dad calls her, the young stuff.
That's right. Yeah, he was kind of putting the moves on her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, would you like to come on the streetcar with me? I got a nickel. We can go to the theater.
Buy an ice cream soda, that whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Crazy time.
Simpler times.
Did you have a nice Father's Day?
Had a great Father's Day weekend. Thank you. And, you know, there's lots to talk about today, but I don't know if you heard, John Stewart is at it again and just did a great job blasting that coward Mitch McConnell. So we're going to play that coming up. I assume you saw last week when he went after Congress.
I did see when he went after Congress about the 9/11 bill that the weasels, after being shamed by a comedian, the weasels in Congress went ahead and passed. You know, like that. If there shouldn't be a bigger slam dunk of taking care of the first responders for anywhere, but 9/11 in particular,
literally dying to take care of us.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., John Favreau in town over the weekend. We'll hear from them. Tiffany Haddish is fighting some medical stuff. Dean will explain what that is. He gave her a full checkup this weekend.
My real estate business has been kind of slow, so I've decided to be...
You're opening a medical office?
A medical office, yeah. My initials are DR.
Is it George Clooney or isn't it? And Gordon Lightfoot.
Not a lot of people have the exclusive on Gordon Lightfoot, but we do.
Been a while.
Legend lives on from the Chippewa on down from a big lake they call Gitchigumi. Lake, it is said, never gives up its dead when the gales of November turn gloomy. It's you.
Okay, but that's all you guys know, thank goodness.
That was the most impressive thing ever on this radio station.
Yes.
It's top five.
I mean, that was real strong.
Top five.
They both have the same range.
Wally Phillips right now.
You mean
now.
Dean and I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that gloomy.
That's how he sings.
I know.
You clearly are not up on your Gordon Lightfoot
Hey, I worked in northern Wisconsin. That's all I ever heard was that song. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they played, like, the ice cream trucks played it for kids when they were coming along.
Exactly.
The Wreck of the Edmund.
Yes, because in Duluth, it happened up on Lake Superior, and so that's all they talk about. Still.
Little kids singing at their birthday parties.
Don't sing Happy Birthday, Mom. Sing Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yes. We love Gordy.
You know, the second verse gets really weird. There's a whole thing about the cook is down below trying to make everybody soup or something. It's all crazy. So I'll sing the entire song before 10 o'clock.
It's 8 minutes long. Make your plans now.
There's nothing else to listen to. Just deal with it.
Yeah.
So
DJ's friend, an 8 minute song.
Actually, somebody just sent me this. 12 doomed facts about the Edmund Fitzgerald. This sounds like fun. Maybe we'll do that when we come back.
Who needs entertainment?
Right.
Ship was the pride of the Americans.
Oh, look at you.
I looked up the lyrics.
Oh, okay. All right.
I can't remember. I couldn't remember it.
It was the largest ship on the Great Lakes at the time. The ship was owned by an insurance company. Oh, I bet it took a dive. See what I did there? It was named after the head of the company. The ship's main job was hauling iron ore, and iron ore is in the lyrics as well. It is, to this date, the only hit song ever to have the words iron ore as part of the lyrics.
And Gitche Gumee.
Yes, even Cher music didn't have Gitche Gumee.
Right about the cook.
There's a cook thing in there.
There's a cook said, when supper time came, the old cook came on deck, saying, fellas, it's too rough to feed ya.
Blah, 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 blah. He said, fellas, it's been good to know ya.
7 p.m., a main hatchway caved in.
Said, oh, man.
Fellas, it's good to know ya. It's been good to know you.
You guys obviously didn't run to the bathroom during this song. You sat there and listened to every lyric.
Sorry, I can't feed you. By the way, you're going to be dead in a minute.
Right. And here's the thing. When we were disc jockeys and we used to have to play this song, it wasn't necessarily that we stayed in the room. You could hear it everywhere, as Dean has pointed out.
No.
And eventually it would just stick to your brain, which is why it's still there.
I didn't leave the room during this. I was busy on the request lines.
Yeah. It's like American Pie.
Busy.
I knew all the words to that, too.
Busy gathering and demographic information on the request line.
Yeah, by the way, I still know all the words to American Pie. We'll do that as well.
Me, too.
Part of this sing-along. It's going to be the entire 9 o'clock hour. CLTV is preempting us by, you know, as soon as they hear this. Ravinia sponsors this segment, Dean. And, by the way, you're not going to be on with us this week, right?
I am going to be off and on because I'm going to London this afternoon. So I will not be, I'm pretty sure I won't be on tomorrow. I won't get there in time, but I will be on Wednesday, and I'm not sure about Thursday yet. But I will have reports from live outside of Buckingham Palace for you later in the week.
All right, we're going to get someone to cover for you tomorrow, and then if you're on, we're going to throw those people off the show and just take your call.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Again, sponsored by Ravinia. We'll come back with Dean and those
gonna
topics.
Fill in?
We
Gordon
mentioned.
Lightfoot?
Mm-hmm.
Celebrity fill-in?
We couldn't get Edmund Fitzgerald. He's busy.
How about Ella Fitzgerald?
Ella Fitzgerald, also busy at this time.
Yep.
Hey, you know who's on the show this week helping us out? Marcia. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. You know Dean, don't you?
Of course.
Hey, Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Hi, Dean.
How often did you hear that in your life?
Let's say 1 million times, maybe.
She just got back from the Black American Film Festival in Miami, and she was hanging out with Anthony Anderson, who I believe you like as well as she does.
Oh, very much. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, good guy. You know who else was there, which I thought was weird, was Pauly Shore. What's he doing at the Black American Film Festival? No, he wasn't there. It's 8:20. What's coming up at 8:30?
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
All right, back to my fellow moron. Robert Downey Jr. and John Favreau in town for what?
They were being honored by the Gene Siskel Film Center. Actually, it was John Favreau who got their Renaissance Award, a Career Achievement Award. And to present the award to him and actually interview him on stage was Iron Man himself, Robert Downey Jr. All very significant because, if you remember, about 11 years ago, when nobody would hire Robert Downey Jr., was constantly in trouble with the law, constantly problems with drugs. Film studios wouldn't touch him, directors wouldn't touch him, nobody would touch him because of the risk that was involved. Favreau had complete faith in him, knew he could do the job, and had faith in him that he would faithfully execute it, and he turned out to be 1,000% correct. It turned around Downey's life. It turned around his career. So Downey wanted to, thank him for, being there for him and having confidence for him by attending this event and presenting him with this award. On the red carpet, I talked to them a little bit about those days 11 years ago. I remember talking with both of you before Iron Man came out about what a pivotal time it was in your life and what you went through because you had such faith in yes. Robert for that role.
Now look. Kind of look like a genius.
Yeah.
Look at that. What, 10, 11 years later? Yeah, so now it's... Yeah, I think the Iron Man arc is complete and he's done us all proud, huh?
Yeah. What was it that you saw, though? That you really insisted that you needed him.
I ask myself that every day. I don't know what it is.
You know, funny, in success, everyone starts rewriting their history. Let's be honest here. I did him a solid. Now,
it's true.
But the other funny thing is, and the reason I'm so glad to be here doing this Gene Siskel thing for the Film Center and giving him the Renaissance Award is because this is kind of like closing a circle for us. So this is my Lion King moment with him, where I get to come back to my gal's hometown. To
where I started.
Where he started. Okay, tonight's going to be memory lane.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
What was it that John has contributed to you? And this award that he's getting here tonight is... for his body of work is obvious. Yeah. To you.
I'm all over his body of work. Why do you think I'm here?
Yeah.
No, he is the single central empowerment figure in my life creatively.
Thank you. Thank you.
Male.
And this is my...
And then the missus.
And of course the wives.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're also... We click and we enjoy each other's work more, I think. I'm the president of the Robert Downey Fan Club. I love his work when we work together. I love his work even more when we don't, because I appreciate it more from a distance. But I'm really happy he came here to do this tonight. It's a special night to be in Chicago with us, and it's even more special that a guy like this, who's got... A very busy life, makes the time to come out here and be part of this.
Yeah, he was, Favreau was honored that Downey was there, and you could hear that Downey was, very appreciative of everything that John Favreau did for him.
Yeah, it's pretty good, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the studio was concerned they couldn't get the movie insured because of Robert Downey Jr.'s pass, and Favreau said, well, I'm not going to direct it then.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Favreau guaranteed it all. It was Favreau's complete faith that made it all happen. And I love that Robert Downey, now who is now one of the biggest, and most successful movie actors in the world, really has John Favreau to thank for it, and readily acknowledges it, not trying to, pretend like it never happened. Here's the part that I like best. They have this huge dinner, big superstars. It's at the Four Seasons Hotel, super swanky. After the event, Favreau goes, I'm going to Wiener Circle after this.
I think you got to have priorities, and I salute that, don't you?
Yep. Come for the awards, stay for the obscenities, I say.
All right, what's going on with Tiffany Haddish?
So Tiffany, the star after star, studio after studio, are pulling their work out of the state of Georgia because of their new abortion laws, which will take effect on January the 1st. Tiffany Haddish is the latest to do that. She was scheduled to do a concert there this coming Saturday night, and she made the announcement over the weekend that she is not going to do the show. She says, I love the state of Georgia, but I need to stand with women until they withdraw this measure. I cannot perform in the state of Georgia. So there's a long list of performers who won't go there now, long list of film studios that are pulling millions and millions and millions of dollars out of that economy because of all of this. Disney and Netflix say that they are considering something which is very similar. So, people, I guess, can do whatever they want to do. The state made this law, but people are saying as long as this law is in effect, we're not going to put any money into the state.
Let me get Marcia in on this. Tiffany Haddish is one of the people that David Letterman interviews on his new season of the My Next Guest Needs No Introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Is she a big enough star? And here's why I ask. Because he only does six of these a season. Right, Dean? Six or seven?
Yeah,
like
not many. No.
So why Tiffany Haddish? I know she's hilarious. She's great talent. She's certainly a rising star. Is she a big enough star?
In my opinion, no.
Yeah, was it weird?
Yeah, it was.
Kind of weird. It was a weird poll.
Yeah.
I think that these, you know, if you're just going to go by, you know, status of the star, I think that Letterman just finds her interesting. I mean, that's kind of what I love about this Letterman series. It's not always the biggest stars in the world. It's just people that, you know, Dave has a fascination about.
So if Larry Bud Melman weren't dead, he'd be on there?
Oh, I would pay money to see Larry Bud Melman be interviewed. I loved Larry Bud Melman.
You know what else Dean and I were talking about, though, Marsha? I don't know if you watched the Letterman thing. He's got to lose the beard. The beard is such a distraction. I mean, I think
he does that on purpose.
Yeah, because he didn't want people to talk to him. I don't know the bigger Letterman fan than me, and I literally can't not look at the beard, even in the middle of these. I feel like it takes something away from it. You know what I mean?
I do, too.
Shave the beard, man.
I do, too, but part of me loves that he just does not care.
No, he's really at that point.
Doesn't his wife care? He doesn't care that his wife cares.
Nah, they got a lot of history.
He doesn't
care. Yeah, that's probably the least of their worries in that household,
true.
I think.
George Clooney impersonator arrested. Now, look, everybody thinks I'm George Clooney. I walked down the street. George! No, it's Steve.
I thought of that when I heard this story, but there's a guy who went on online, and he was saying that he was George Clooney. He set up a company and said that he was George Clooney. A clothing business. George Clooney Clothing.
Clooney Clothing?
So this guy, his name is Francesco Galdelli, and his wife were arrested in Thailand on Saturday for impersonating George Clooney.
So he didn't look like him. He just stole his ID.
You and I look more like George Clooney than this guy does. This guy, I don't even know how to describe how this guy... He is the exact opposite of George Clooney, not even remotely similar, but he was doing this business online. And, you know, I guess the moral to the story is you got to be careful when you buy stuff online. If things seem too good to be true, if you're buying a George Clooney suit or, you know, for $20, probably does not really include the real George Clooney as a result of this. This guy and his wife were arrested. The real George Clooney stepped up to be one of the people to testify against the guy.
So you need LifeLock. If you have LifeLock, these things don't happen.
Very true. People would just listen to you.
Remember when somebody tried to open Cochran Plumbing in California? It's a true story. Stole my ID, tried to open Cochran Plumbing. LifeLock caught him.
Wow.
Yeah. When all you needed to do is go, you know, Steve, does he know anything about plumbing?
He has routed my pipes, but I know he has nothing to do with plumbing.
No, that's code. All right, so I have a great flight, a great trip to London, and we're going to talk to you in some form in the next couple of days.
From there, somehow, somewhere.
All right, see you, bud.
Bye.
And the headlines are next on 720 WGN, plus Jeremy Colleton's coming up.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
All right, 8:41. Let's get to the coach, Jeremy Colleton. Standing by ahead of the draft. Convention won't be long. We're going to get started up with a brand new season. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Missed you guys.
Yeah, same here. Are you having a good break?
Yeah, it's been good. We're, stuff's still cooking along, but been good to have a little family time, too.
What did the boys do for Father's Day?
They give me a lot of love, a lot of hugs.
they didn't glue any macaroni to a plate?
They did the old the school cards and whatnot, which is always
good.
Fun.
That's good. So you had a good Father's Day?
I did.
All right, and you had a big weekend. Ali is coming to the Blackhawks. I like this trade. Carms, what do we know about Ali?
We know that... Ali is 24. We know that Ali is ninth among NHL defensemen in block shots per game. Steve, I think Coach probably knows this too. He's 26th in defensive zone puck battles. That's a good stat. He's 40th in block defensive zone passes, and he's 47th in outlet passes. I'm actually curious, Coach, which of those stats do you like the most?
I think I like the battles won in D zone. There's a lot of stats. Obviously, you can find a lot of things if you like, but. To get out of D zone, you got to win one-on-ones, and I think he's shown he can do that, which is good, among a bunch of other things that I think are a strength of his.
So the knock on him is Benny's been hurt a lot. Well, you play defense, you're going to get banged up. And the Blackhawks don't make deals like this without doing their due diligence. We're not buying a broken car here, right?
No. Obviously, he's had some adversity in his young career, but that's not, you know, in some ways that can be a positive. He makes him, he's had some success, he's had some adversity, and that can make you tougher. And I think he can add, we have some of that in our group for sure, but I don't think you can ever have enough. And, you know, to be 24, he's turned to 25, he's got two Stanley Cups. He was a big part of the decor during those runs. And that builds a base of, you know, some steel between your ears, and that's important.
Jeremy, you got to give up something to get something, but what will you miss most about Dominic Cahoon?
Yeah, I think that's important to mention. Like, he's a great kid, really enjoyed having him this year. I actually started with him in Traverse City in the rookie tournament.
Oh, is that right?
And yeah, and he had an excellent season. You know, he's a great teammate. You know, he produced offensively despite, you know, most of it being 5-on-5. You know, he's a good player, and so, you know, we don't love giving him up. But, yeah, you have to, you know, there's 31 teams that are trying to win a cup, so you got to sometimes you got to give up something to get something, as you said. I think he's going to be a really nice fit for them. I think this is a trade that helps both teams. He will produce there, I think. They have good players offensively, and he fills a hole for them, gives them a little more offensive depth. So I wish them all the best.
I know this isn't your office, but why are the Penguins willing to make that deal? Is it a money thing?
Yeah, I can't speak for them. But, you know, obviously, a lot of times what you see is a team will trade a forward for a D. You know, it balances your team. They're looking for something, worth looking for something else. And I think those are the deals you're looking to make where it helps both sides.
How surprised were you by the St. Louis Blues, Jeremy? Did you see that coming?
Well, I think with the second half they had, you had to believe they would be very difficult in the playoffs. I'm not sure anyone saw them, you know, going all the way and winning the Stanley Cup, maybe a couple people, but you look at how they played from January 1st on, they were an excellent team. And when you watch them play, the total buy-in up and down the lineup for team success, that was pretty impressive. And, you know, they had some tough matchups. They beat some really good teams. So congrats to them, obviously.
Does it make you feel like you're maybe closer than you thought? Because, you know, Hawks and Blues played a lot of great games this year, and they rose up pretty fast.
Yeah, I think it shows that the league is tight. You know, the difference between the top team and the 20th team, I'm not sure there's a huge difference. But I think watching the playoffs, it's important for us to realize that, you know, we need to get better in certain areas. We got to be better defensively. We need better penalty kill has to improve. I think we need to score all different types of goals. We'd like to be a little more diverse in the type of offense we create. But in saying that, you know, we had a good second half and showed improvement, and now we've got to build on it.
By the way, Carms, I can speak for all Blackhawk fans in that, yes, the Blackhawks are close, and they will win another cup.
All right, Steve.
Sorry, Coach, I had to put you on the line there. But again, that's what you suit up for. All right, so if you wake up after the draft, what's going to make you really happy? Because the Blackhawks drafted what position?
I'm hoping we draft, you know, the best player that we can. And,
I really thought I found an angle. I really thought I found a way to ask that question that you'd have to commit. But you once again have pushed me into the corner and checked me hard against the boards. Well done by you, Coach.
We got a really, you know, capable staff. They've been doing a lot of work. Sure. And obviously it's been fun to be part of the meetings and you know, listen to them talk about these players. And it feels like no matter what pick we ultimately settle on, it's going to be a great player for the Hawks for a long time, so that is really exciting.
The main thing in the National Hockey League that you cannot be without is a dependable goalie, a number one goalie, as many nights as that goalie can play. Crawford healthy, as far as you know? You guys stayed in touch over the last couple of months?
Yeah, absolutely. He's great. He's in great shape. He's been working even at the rink. I've seen him a couple times. He's we're excited. He finished off the year really well. And obviously, he tweaked his groin in the last game, but that won't have any impact long term.
Well, it's NHL draft coming up. Wait, is that this week or next week? It's next
this week.
It's this week?
This week.
This week.
Right.
It's Thursday. Okay, got it. You know,
Friday.
You know,
NBA, I think NBA is Thursday. We're Friday.
21st. I thought that it was the 14th.
Well, you know what? Make an NBA pick as well. The Bulls could use the help. Coach, thank you as always for checking in. We appreciate it. I hope you continue to have at least a good couple of weeks without worrying too much about all this stuff, because the worry starts soon.
You can never check out, though. You know, we're rocking and rolling.
Yep, no, that's exactly right. If you're going to, winners never check out. And we know the second half of the season roll is going to continue. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
That's Coach Jeremy Colleton. Your thoughts?
I love the fact that the Blues won it just from a optimistic. Hey, they were in last place at the start of January, Steve. Mm-hmm. They ran it
worst team in the league.
Worst team in the league. So, mm-hmm. I mean, look.
There's two seasons. The regular season, the playoff season are two separate seasons. You got to get in. You get in, anything's possible.
Were you able to say congratulations to the Blues? Were you able to do
I
that?
Actually pulled for the Blues.
Did you really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was filling in after they won it. I asked WGN listeners to say congratulations to St. Louis. They had a hard time doing it, Steve. It was really like pulling teeth.
Well, Boston. Why would you like Boston?
Sure, but...
It's in Bruins.
But that's a divisional rivalry.
Yeah. Listen, keep the cup in our conference. Ali Mata. I believe that's correct pronunciation. Ali Mata is the new Blackhawks defenseman. He's only 24 years old. I like this deal.
They need help back there, Steve. I mean, you look at the numbers last year for the Blackhawks.
Not good.
No. Second most goals per game allowed, 3.5. Most high danger chances, if we want to go deep into it, in the entire league. Needed help on that on the blue line, and they went out and got it. So hopefully it'll work out.
Yeah, and as long as the kid stays healthy, he could be a real force.
Well, when he came into the league, he was tabbed to be a stud. So
yeah,
it took a lot of flack in Pittsburgh for not being as good as they wanted. But
and he's got nice hair. If you've seen him, he's got nice hair. And as you would guess, I'm bitter.
Very good hair. Change of scenery will perhaps help him. Certainly, the Blackhawks are betting on that.
Sure.
And it is a phenomenal name.
And he's going to love Chicago. And I think he's the only Ollie in the National Hockey League. I could be wrong, but we're not exactly overrun by Ollies in hockey.
Do you remember Ollie from Hoosiers when he made the free throw?
Sure.
The underhanded free
throw?
Yeah. Jimmy Chitwood? Come on.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's good to be king, just for a while. To be there in velvet, yeah, to give them a smile.
ABC ran the whole Stephanopoulos Trump interview yesterday, which is just disturbing on a million levels. But the real coward in Washington is Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, who appears to have been in cahoots, and by the way, cahoots, not great this time of year, but has been in cahoots with his wife, a Trump cabinet member, to exploit, take, cut deals, money launder, $50+ million. And a senator from Kentucky, you're not going to get that without playing a little dirty. He also has made sure, in a time of no earmarks on bills, that his friends in Kentucky have been taken care of by getting stuff through that would normally get through because he runs the Senate. You following this?
Yeah, one of the Merrick Garland hearings, by the way. Is that any day now?
Yeah, and he is bragging to people that he blocked the Senate from even considering Merrick Garland.
Way to go, dude. That's some serious integrity.
Jon Stewart is on a roll. Jon Stewart, the former Daily Show host, stood up for first responders last week and got a bill through Congress that never even should have been a problem. And in the process, ripped Congress for their cowardice and their cluelessness and not even showing up for a hearing involving these men who were such heroes, who were there in the room. And no, it's not okay that they were in their office. It's not okay that they were seeing constituents. It's not okay that they had previous appointments. Cancel them. These are guys who helped save the rest of us after 9/11, who have gotten cancer and are dying because of the work they did on behalf of the rest of us. So anyway, Jon Stewart's not done. Jon Stewart, I think this is on Fox, right? It makes it all the more interesting. Jon Stewart on Fox taking apart Mitch McConnell. Listen.
Let's
talk practical politics, because that's, of course, in the end what this is all about. It's very likely that the House is going to pass the full bill that you want, extending the program through the lives of these people. Then sure. You have to go to the Senate. And in your testimony, you said that a certain someone, by which it appeared that you meant Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, cannot be allowed to use this as a, quote, political football in negotiations on other spending bills. Have you had problems with Senator McConnell?
Yes. I mean, not me personally, but in terms of getting the 9/11 bills passed, Mitch McConnell has been the white whale of this since 2010. In 2010, you know, and this brings up something, because I think it's the cynicism that's displayed by Washington that also causes this situation to be so emotional. They asked Mitch McConnell about the testimony after it was done, and he said, gosh, I think he used the word gosh, we haven't looked at that in a while, but we will look at it, and I'm sure we'll deal with it as compassionately as we have in the past. But I want to make it clear that this has never been dealt with compassionately by Senator McConnell. He has always held out until the very last minute, and only then, under intense lobbying and public shaming, has he even deigned to move on it. This is not a Republican-Democrat issue. There are Republicans on the bill. We'd obviously like to have more of them. But Senator McConnell has seen fit to, in 2010, he used it to make sure that the Bush tax cuts would be permanent. In 2015, he took it out of the transportation bill because he wanted to extract some promises on oil imports. And so in this bill right now, 2019, he's been aware of this. We were told in August that this fund was running out of money and that people were going to have their awards slashed by 30, 50, up to 70%.
And by the way, the charming Mitch McConnell doesn't stop there, because amongst his crimes, and this is why everybody ought to read the Mueller report, make it your number one item on your summer reading list. Yep, it's 400 pages long. Yep, there's parts of it that are a little lawyer-y and legalese. You can get through it. And you need to read it to understand it, not to be the duty of all of us to read it. In 2016, Russian hackers targeted voting systems in 21 states, starting with Illinois. And according to Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report, these breached systems in Illinois and two counties in Florida provided direct access to information on millions of registered voters. In his report, Mueller described the Russian government's interference in the 2016 elections as sweeping and systematic. Mitch McConnell has actively blocked legislation that would stop voting machine irregularities and provide money to states to make sure that individual states had the money they needed to shore up their election security. Security experts warn not enough has been done. The FBI recently told Congress that threats keep escalating. In 14 states from 2018, midterm voters submitted their votes on touchscreens. It did not produce paper trails and therefore couldn't be tracked. Several Democratic and Republican members of Congress had submitted legislation on election security. Again, bipartisan legislation. But all the bills have hit a roadblock. Senator Leader Mitch McConnell has told his colleagues he will not allow the Senate to vote on election security legislation. At this point, I don't see any likelihood these bills would get to the floor, says Roy Blunt, a hardcore McConnell supporter in the past, Republican from Missouri. The only logical conclusion is Senator McConnell wants American elections to be vulnerable, said a leading Democrat. The two largest voting machine vendors in the United States, Election Systems and Software, that's the United States Election Systems Software and Dominion Voting Systems, together they supply more than 80% of the nation's voting machines. The companies have each had extensive lobbying efforts in Congress. And here's the shocking part. They've contributed heavily to Mitch McConnell's campaign. Aren't you shocked? Isn't that just crazy? Couldn't I knock you over with a feather? The people that make the voting machines that contribute to Mitch McConnell's campaign, they would be penalized if you went seriously after security and protection. Well, Mitch McConnell doesn't want that money to go away, so he's not even going to allow a vote to happen, let alone whatever ties he might have to the shipping story and the Russian story as well. There you go. That's the leader of the Senate.
It's so just deflating. You're in there in theory to serve the public. But all you do is try to protect your base and your job and your life, and that's how and that's the way you serve.
And that's why the Democrats have just been a huge disappointment. They're just cowards. The Democrats keep backing up. The Democratic Party would beep like a truck backing up on a construction site. Do something, because you can't count on the Republicans to do anything. That's why we need a third party. God, we so need a third party in this country.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
914, condolences to Anderson Cooper on the loss of his mother. Man, you start looking at the history of that woman. A lot of marriages, a lot of boyfriends. But, I mean, what an amazing run at a time when women weren't supposed to be doing anything. There was no glass ceiling. She was an artist. She was a model. She was a designer. She was an actress.
Major socialite.
And yeah, lit up New York nights every night. She was out doing something. A lot of
energy, that woman.
Did Brooke Shields wear the Gloria Vanderbilt jeans, or was that something else?
I think that was her for a while. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
Everybody always called me Vanderbilt. I mean, it just came out that I was related to her in some way, so I feel extra special.
Vanderbilt.
Close to her. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a beautiful lady.
Mm-hmm. She was. Absolutely.
And she had two sons with her last husband, and Anderson Cooper's talked about his brother Carter, who killed himself, jumped out of the 14th-floor apartment window in New York, which obviously was very difficult for that family to talk about. But in that Nothing Left Unsaid documentary, they get through all of it. So you say you want to be famous. It's 9:15. Let me shift gears here. There's a cool thing coming up we want you to know about. Let me start with my friend Tracy. Tracy used to produce the Steve Cochran Show. What was that, a week? Week and a half that you would produce the show?
The time just keeps changing. Sometimes you're saying 10 minutes. I'm glad that's getting longer.
You worked for Spike Odell for years. You worked with me a few months. And look, you got to do what you got to do. And you've gone on to a very happy life with some great kids. And now you're doing a podcast with our friend Ann Johnsos. What's that called?
Apparently.
And
the podcast for Absolutely Average Parents. Right. We're coming up on season 4 already.
Wow. That's a lot of episodes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
WGN Radio.
There's a lot of topics. There's no shortage of topics when you come to parenting.
I see you two as the new Kathy and Judy.
Wow, that's a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, because I see you coming in and you're smart and funny and you start talking and then who knows where it's going to go.
Yeah, and Ann and I have been friends since we were, like, snot-nosed kids, so...
Did you meet here, you and Johnsos, did you meet here while she was an intern or something, or how'd you meet her?
Yeah, she was producing Bob.
Yeah, and she was working with Bob Collins. How about that?
We were drinking buddies together back when we were single.
Back when, you know, now that I think about it, Johnsos produced this show, and she left, too. Maybe it's me.
Yeah, let's share the...
Sandberg just left the show. I'm running through producers like you wouldn't believe. Carmen, you want to produce the show?
I don't think that's qualified for that, Steve. A lot of pressure in that role.
Tracy, in your suburban happy life, you've got something you have coming up that we wanted to throw a plug out there for. Who's on the phone with us?
Lisa with Rotary of Downers Grove. She's like... So there's a rite of passage every summer for my kids. I have a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old, and it does not mean summer until it's Rotary Grove Fest here in Downers Grove.
Okay.
And they ride every ride till they puke all the skinny rides. They eat all the cotton candy and hot dogs and elephant ears they could possibly OD on and run around with their friends, and it's just... It's in downtown Downers Grove, and it's safe, and it's right in the heart of downtown. They know everybody that's walking around, and it's just a really family-friendly, fun time. And then I get to hang out with my friends in the beer tent.
Well, it sounds like
all the moms and dads.
Sounds like a fabulous time and potentially a hot mess. Lisa, what's your part of this?
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You want to produce this show? I keep losing.
No.
Hey, I'm here with Slav, and we're both involved in the Rotary Grow Fest. I'm one of the chairs, and Slav does heads up our restaurants, and we are so excited to be celebrating our 10th anniversary doing this for the community of Downers Grove.
Well, that's great. And you've lived there for how long?
I've been in the community for over 35 years. Wow. Slav, how about you?
I've been here for 25.
Well, listen, then you both know what you're talking about. I love Downers. I've spent a lot of time in Downers. Sometimes the people
come and have a beer with us at the fest this weekend.
Yeah, and sometimes the people at Downers tell me to leave. But it's going to be a great time. So, Tracy, what do you have to get, tickets, or how does this work?
Lisa, do you can get
ahead. Well, okay. Of course, you can visit our website, growfest.com, but we're going to open up Thursday night with preview rides from 5:30 to 10 in downtown Downers Grove. The fest will open Friday at noon. It'll run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from noon to 10:30. We've got a craft beer event going on Saturday afternoon from 12 to 4. It's a no-cover charge. It's $2 for a 5-ounce tasting. We're going to have a church service on Sunday. Beer tent will be going all weekend. And, of course, Slav, you want to talk about our entertainment?
Sure. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, beginning at 4 o'clock, we have many great bands playing, including 16 Candles, Seventh Heaven, Modern Day Romeos, and several others that are just really fun to watch and get people dancing out there in the entertainment area. And, of course, we'll have plenty of food for those who are hungry. Some Downers Grove locals, such as Pierce Tavern, Parker's, City Barbecue, and some others that have been coming back and being part of Rotary Grove Fest for quite a few years now.
And, you know, Steve, some of our big sponsors are Advocate Good Samaritan Hospital. We have Platinum Partners, Caldwell Banker, Wenzel Select Properties. We're really about community.
Sure.
And all the money that is raised goes right back into Downers Grove.
Yeah, including C-SPAR, I assume?
Including C-SPAR, yes. Thank you so much. C-SPAR, YMCA, the Boy Scouts, Dive Heart, Alliance for Smiles. So many not-for-profits benefit from this wonderful, wonderful event.
And I'd ask you to go to C-SPAR to check out what they do, too. It's a special recreation association that does programs and services for people with disabilities.
Wow, that's awesome.
Nice,
yes.
Work for you.
Thank
guys.
You for that plug. It's
right.
A well-needed organization in the community.
Don't you think Tracy should come back and produce the show now? Honestly?
Definitely.
Yeah, so Tracy, what's up?
I'm going to be busy working the beer tent this weekend. I'm volunteering at the
How many times has Tracy
awesome.
Said beer during this whole conversation?
I don't know. How many times has she turned down the gig?
I tell you.
So, anyway, I want you guys to have a great time, and I know the kids will, and it's the Downers Grove Rotary Grove Fest. Now, is it this Friday through Sunday?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, the rides start Thursday night, so it's the 20th through the 23rd.
All right. Keep an eye on those teenagers. Those kids, get out of my yard with your ball. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. That's Lisa and Bob and Tracy and the whole gang. It's 9:22. 25 years ago today, where were you? I can tell you where I was. O.J. Simpson went on his run 25 years ago today with Al Collings and the white Ford Bronco. And now O.J.'s on Twitter. Are you kidding? Well, we need another knucklehead on Twitter.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Only a couple days left for you to get in on the Pucks in Prague trip. David Hochberg will be in here Friday to pick another winner. Marcia, this is my European vacation.
Can I go?
Oh, you have to win.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you work here, don't you? You're host. Team Hochberg giving you another chance to win a 5-day trip for two to Prague this October. Includes VIP ticket patches. I can get a patch if you want. A package to see the Blackhawks open their 2019-2020 season in the Czech Republic October 4th against the Flyers.
Right.
For your chance to win, you go to WGNradio.com/trip and enter today. I've already talked about this since it's my European vacation and I'm going with you. I'm going to take a few listeners. We're going to storm the biggest castle in Europe. That's it. We're just going to take it over. I don't know what's going on in it. I just always wanted to storm a castle. Seems like a good time to do it.
You got any plans on how to do that, Steve? You're just going to walk on up and make your move?
You know, I watched a lot of Monty Python and Bugs Bunny, and I feel like I've got tips from both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do about the moat?
You know, that's a very good question. We don't really have an answer. I would say fill it with cheese.
Why not just take the, you know, a human little bridge creation?
Walk on listeners?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
there
no good.
There you go.
That's no good. I mean, a lot of listeners feel like I do that every morning.
They want to support the show, right?
Is Bertrand going? He's tall enough. He can, you know, support you.
Didn't he have a bad back already?
Well.
You want to enter with and find out official rules, go to WGNradio.com/trip. Now, this ends Wednesday night, 11:59 p.m., just a couple days away. So you better enter. You better do it today. How about convention passes?
That'd be nice.
We've got convention passes. What's the convention? It's coming up in a month and a half. It's end of July. Last weekend of July, right?
Blackhawks Convention.
July 26th through the 28th.
Yeah. I'm not just a pretty face. I know stuff. Uh-huh. So the last weekend of July, and we may be doing something special there, too. I'm talking about the Steve Cochran Show. We're working that out. But Dave Bennett and I usually host the opening ceremonies on the radio, so we're looking forward to doing that. I'm sure Ro will be out there. Let's give away, let's do four. Let's do a family four of tickets to the Blackhawks convention. And you want to go call her 88?
88 works.
Yeah.
Or 8 or 4.
Curtis is cursing us out right now. How about half of 88? Let's go 8. Caller 8 at 312-981-7200. Be caller 8, and you will win passes to the Blackhawks convention. All right.
Hilton, Chicago, 720 South Michigan. Be there.
25 years ago today, O.J. Simpson ran for it. In the car, he had a passport, he had cash, and he had Al Collins driving, and he had a gun. In the slow speed chase, the most famous slow speed chase, because normally they're fast, the slow speed chase that went on had people on overpasses, run juice, run, they were chanting, go OJ, go. This is just a few days after OJ's ex-wife and Ron Goldman were butchered on the front step of his ex-wife's house. We're talking about Nicole and Ron Goldman. So the idea that we, you know, treated the O.J. thing that way was just kind of a window into the future because, to my mind, that's when this country changed. This country changed where the celebrity reality culture started on that day, 25 years ago today. And it's just gotten bigger and bigger and, you know, some might argue worse and worse. 25 years ago today, we were moving into a new house. Ross Cochran, about to be the father of two, was 3 years old then. He was Abigail Grace's age. Amy was 7, and none of our stuff was ready to be moved into the house, and the chase was on.
Where was your TV?
The TV was packed up as well.
Oh, no.
So I went to Target, and I bought the smallest TV I could find, which was a 9-inch black-and-white TV. Now, keep in mind, this is 25 years ago.
Oh, yeah, we used to have one of those.
25 years ago, TVs were not like now. Yeah, now you can get a TV as big as your house for $14 now. I mean, they just find them, you buy them and you throw them away.
Yeah.
But back then, TVs cost a little more money. So this 9-inch black and white TV, I think it was a couple hundred bucks. But I mean, I had black and white. I had to plug it in and I had to watch the slow speed chase. So I vividly remember no furniture in the house, Amy, Ross, me, camping out in the house on the what would be the family room floor, plugging in the TV into the wall, falling asleep, and Ross waking up and go, can we watch something else? Is there something else on? No, son. This is on every channel.
And it went on all during dinner, too,
yeah.
Didn't it? I had a friend over that was out of town, and it was my husband's best friend, and he was in from out of town in northern Wisconsin. Never been to Chicago. And here we are with him just sitting there watching this for hours. He's like, can we go do something? No. You know, and I had my little kids, too.
And the question was, would OJ kill himself? Would he start shooting at cops? What would he do?
Yeah.
Well, eventually they turned him around. Al Collins brought him back to his house. That's when he was arrested, taken into custody. And it took a year and a half for that trial to play out. Ro Khan reported the entire O.J. saga for ABC News back then.
Did he really?
Yeah, and he's told some good stories about it. And I'm sure he'll do the same today. But Ro was not with me when we were camping out at my house.
You know, it was game 5 of the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
We had to go split screen Rockets and Knicks and O.J.
Yep.
I mean, us basketball diehards, we were not happy about this.
It's a crazy, crazy, crazy night. O.J. just joined Twitter. Signed up for Twitter.
Ugh.
It's already got at least 100,000 followers. You guys got the clip? This is OJ's video announcing his Twitter adventure.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there, so this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So, this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So, God bless. Take care.
I got a little getting even to do. It killed a couple of people and you got off. Isn't that enough?
What are we guessing he means by that?
I assume it's about the Vegas thing because he felt like he was punished. But I mean, come on,
people got to be deleting any OJ negative tweets right now. I know I would be.
So let me see if I can go to OJ's account here. He already has 635,000 followers.
Good God.
God.
And I believe he signed up Saturday, Steve. Isn't that right?
That's right. I remember seeing this cross my Twitter feed. And maybe like Saturday night is when it first. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And within 10 minutes, he had 300,000 followers.
And now it's over 600,000.
Yeah.
So if you don't have time to read all of Trump's maniac rantings, OJ is out there for you as well at The Real OJ32.
What happens, Steve, when they start tweeting at each other? Does something happen, like with the universe? Do we all get dizzy, or does everything get blurry? Or
if I didn't own Twitter stock, I would hope Twitter exploded. Maybe I'll sell the Twitter stock because that could happen. It's very crazy, just crazy.
I think at the Carm on Twitter is a great follow. You could be the 7,606th follower right now at the Carm on Twitter.
At the, I know I'm a follower.
You are, Steve. Yeah,
I'm a follower too. Your coverage of the guy who jumped off the train last week was riveting.
Wasn't that amazing? Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. You haven't killed anybody, have you?
Not yet, no.
Okay. 9:33. We'll come back in a moment with the headlines on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 9:44. So you get a big hook in your life, big curveball thrown at you. What do? Do you make the most of it? How about you start a company? How about you just go out and start a company? Michelle Mecki's here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You PR rock star, you?
I'm trying to be.
Mecki Media Relations, M-E-K-K-Y, M-E-K-K-Y Media Relations. We'll tell you about the company in a second because you've had tremendous success in a very short period of time. But this inspiration came from where?
Almost 5 years ago now, which I'm super proud to say because that's really a big marker for cancer, I suddenly out of nowhere was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and really didn't even know it was cancer at the time.
Well, it's so scary because the symptoms don't become present until it's usually looking for something else. And then by the time you find it, it can be really, really, really dangerous.
Exactly. And specifically with ovarian cancer, they call it the silent killer, right? Because you don't really have symptoms most of the time. And I was, mid-40s, working my butt off, had felt nothing, went to the doctor and suddenly was told on an annual exam, wow, you have a giant growth on your ovary. And it was terrifying for me, and then I thought it was benign, but only after surgery did I find out that it was actually cancer.
Now, this is the part I don't understand. You opened this PR firm while you were still in treatment?
No. It wasn't quite like that. It happened probably a year and a half later after I recovered. I tried to go back to work, just couldn't keep up with the pace.
But you had a new perspective on life and you said, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do something for me. I assume it was a life's too short kind of talk with yourself.
Yeah, and it was gradual. It wasn't like I woke up and I'm like, that's it, I'm starting a business. It really took time to set in, but I think it was a combination of just not being able to keep up with the pace of the demands that I had at the job I was in, and then transitioning to another job after that, really realizing that I just needed control of my own life. And at that point, my health was the most important thing, and looking at my kids and realizing, wow, I almost died. And that was the shock I needed maybe to take a different path in life.
How many kids?
Two.
How old?
They are 17 and 15.
Boys, girls, both?
My son is 17 and my daughter's 15. They're teenagers, which is a whole new phase for me.
But again, I'm doing the math here. You started this company when they were right in the middle of beginning the busiest phases of their life.
That is
very
true.
Where do you sleep? Have you ever slept?
I don't sleep much. I use under-eye concealer heavily and drink a lot of coffee.
Oh, you're going to have to let me know about that.
But I have to say the Mekki in my name, I owe credit to my husband. I wouldn't be Mekki without him. And he's pretty much Super Dad, who I honored yesterday on Father's Day.
Good.
With all the other great dads out there. But he and my kids are in sports, and he drives them to every practice and makes every game when I can't. And that was probably the downside of starting a business, to be completely transparent, is I've also never worked harder. So
yeah, but what a great model, certainly for your daughter, but for your son as well.
I'd like to think so. You know, it's not like they wake up every day and they look at me and they say, wow, Mom, you're doing a great job. You know,
no, but they'll get it. Even
I
if
hope
they,
so.
Even if they don't express it now, they'll get it.
I certainly hope so. You know, I did give my daughter a chance to work a gala with me a couple nights ago for the Holiday Heroes. And she walked around and she wrote people's names down that she took pictures of. And
right.
And I thought to myself, you know, I'm teaching her something. And I was proud that I was able to do that. I really was.
How have you balanced taking the treatment that doctors are telling you to do versus advocating for yourself and doing what feels right for you? Because I know that's a challenge for any cancer patient.
It's truly a challenge, and I know it's a challenge for everybody that works, right? I mean, we're all trying to like balance our lives, and I think that, you know, I try every day. I'm not perfect. You know, I've tried to get into working out more. I took a client in fitness. See, here's where I gained control, right? So I looked at the clients that I want to take on are people that I love, people that I care about, people that motivate me and inspire me to be better. And so I started working with a fitness client, 360 Fit out of Arlington Heights. He started motivating me to work out. He knows that I'm a cancer survivor, right? So I give him PR. My doctor, I have to see every 3 months. And so he looks me in the face and says, Michelle, do you want to survive? You know, you need to get off the phone. You know, you need to meditate. You need to do yoga. So I guess it's surrounding myself with the right kind of people to really answer your question, which is, it's an everyday battle for me. It's not easy.
Well, the thing that it's really kind of amazing. I mean, this is a big city with about 8 million PR firms.
Very true.
All fighting for, you know, a list of clients. You must have had quite a network of folks when you started this.
That's such a good question because I didn't even realize it. You know, I think part of why it took me so long to even think about this is that I was always the number two at companies, and mm-hmm. I was just working hard like everybody else, you know. And when I finally was in the position to start my own business and think about it, and I was so scared, I remember when I put it out there on LinkedIn and I thought of a name and I posted it, and I thought, okay, I don't know what's going to happen now. It's either going to be silence or I'm going to get some calls. And when I started to get overwhelmed with people reaching out to me, I thought, wow, I guess I do have a pretty good network, and I'm pretty proud of the fact that actually people do really like me out there and remember me,
which is nice now, because not only does it create this business that you now have, but it also reinforces that you made the right decision.
Yeah, and that the hard work I've put in all those years is starting to pay off for me.
Some of the folks you've worked with, very impressive list, include our friends at Apt, huh?
Love those guys, yes.
The Apt brothers?
Yes, I've known them for years, and super proud of the work we do for them. In fact, just won an award for our media relations work, and you know, they're awesome as it is. They don't need me to make them better, of course, but super proud of the fact that I can at least carry their work to the next level and get them on a national stage.
You must be really good, because I look at this client list. I mean, you're involved in everything, and you can't be an expert on everything. I'm sorry you can't, because I just won't allow it. But you're into food, the culinary side, obviously the charitable side. You mentioned folks you know, and you feel like, you know, giving back the way they've given to you. It's an ongoing deal there. You've got plastic surgery on here. You got electronics. It's amazing.
Well, you know, I got my start in TV, right? So I used to be a producer, and I would book all these guests on the show. And so I think that's really how I built my network. And I had all these contacts of people that I reached out to, and it's diverse. I don't think I can keep going forever, obviously. I do want to get sleep and have balance in my life. But I'm proud that I think I have a formula that works, and you know, I do have a diverse list of clients that I think we do great work for. So
now, two things before I let you go.
Sure.
One is in particular for women, but men as well. You reach a point in your life, maybe you're in your mid 40s, whatever, and you really always wanted to start your own business. What do you tell them?
So that's also something that I've been now speaking to people about because, like I said, I think it's been great, but it's also been crazy hard. I've never worked harder in my life, and I want people to think about that when they make that decision. You know, I didn't sleep probably for about 10 months.
Do you have fun?
And I now have fun, but I say make sure to, you know,
get, know what you're getting into as much as you can.
Know what you're getting into. Get acceptance from people around you. Have a good advisor around you, someone who's gonna who's smarter than you, who's going to tell you what to do. And then know have somebody who's really good with money to tell you what you need to do with taxes, how much money you're going to need, what do you need to save, because I made that mistake. You know, I thought, oh, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to think of a great name. And I'm really good in PR, but... You know, there's a lot more that goes with it, and I made some mistakes.
I've had a couple of production companies, and I remember the first time I did it, and somebody goes, well, could you show me your business plan? Right. Well, I'm starting a company. That's my plan.
Exactly.
Because, you know, you don't know. You don't
I'm
know
still
you know.
Learning every day, you know, and I still ask people for advice all the time.
Finally, anybody listening that would like to make your life even more hectic, how do they get a hold of you?
They can reach out to me at mekkimedia.com.
And I'm telling you, I'm looking at the list. She does everything. So if you need promotion, here's your woman right here. Mekkimedia.com. Spell it.
MekkyMedia.com.
Same on social media?
Yep, absolutely. Mekki Media Relations, Michelle Mekki. I do heavy social media posting. Thank God for social media. It really helps with promotion. Go. And also anybody that, you know, feels any kind of symptoms or anything when it comes to ovarian cancer or any type of cancer, don't ignore your doctor. Go get checkups. That's another big thing I talk about now.
Especially women who take care of the rest of the world. We're a mess without you. So don't, you know, think about us.
Yeah, you guys need us.
That's exactly right. So take care of yourself. Don't miss those milestone checks.
That's right. Absolutely.
Great to see you.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks for coming
Thanks for having
You're
me.
An inspiration.
Thank you.
Back with more in a moment. Bill and Wendy coming up.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Once again, internal memo. Congratulations to Dave Bennett. Won our big U.S. Open pool. And all the illegal gambling money that we have involved in that goes to Dave, who's now in Italy.
I'm accepting for Dave, Steve.
Accepting on behalf of Dave?
Yes.
John DeCosta's picks for the U.S. Open, again, were Woodrow Wilson. I think he had FDR. He wanted to do four. He threw in, who was the other one he threw in? Woodrow Wilson, FDR? Maybe it was Kennedy. And Donald Trump.
Oh.
All golfing presidents. So, Bill and Wendy show in a moment, but first at 9:57 and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Was that Jen DeSalvo's voice I heard a second ago?
It was. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing fine.
Yay.
All right, good. You're going to do the news for us in just a second on 720 WGN.